So you may be thinking, gosh, Father's really slick having the reception of all these people into the church fall on the feast of the dedication of St. John Lateran, when there's this great joy that the church expresses for being Christ's body. And I did not realize that it was the feast of the dedication of John Lateran until Monday of this week. So I can take zero credit for the fact that this is the day that these receptions of the church fell. And yet, God in his providence has provided us really a perfect opportunity to reflect on just what it means to be received into the church. So for those of you who will be received, and for us who have been received, what it means to be part of Christ's body. These readings are some of my favorites. And so I want to focus really just on a few aspects and what that means for us as disciples of Jesus who belong to his body. So we see the ferocity of God in the gospel reading. It's the moment that we really know and remember, if we know our scripture, that Jesus manifests this righteous anger. And perhaps the first place that we go to is, gosh, this is the way that God may approach the sin in my life, right? If my heart is to be a temple of God, then he is seeking to cleanse it, to purify it of those things that are not his. Sure. But I want us to go a little further with the ferocity of God. Because we have a hard time maybe envisioning God's ferocity properly. Because the only real experiences that we have of anger are our own, either when we have gotten angry or others have been angry with us. And so it's always fallen. It's always mingled with something that is wounding. And so it can make it very hard for us to see the love that is objectively there. That it is not an anger that seeks to destroy us or grind us down, but one that truly does seek to purify and to cleanse. So instead, I want us to find a way in, so to speak, through a different manifestation of God's ferocious kind of love. And that's in our second reading. Listen to the last half of it again, St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God, which you are, is holy. So here is the fullness of revelation. So Jesus is, in the gospel, detaching the people of Israel from the physical structure of the temple. Right? This is a change of worship. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they realize eventually that he's speaking of the temple of his body. So now, in the light of Revelation, in its fullness, we see that Paul is speaking of the truth, not that we are temples that need to be cleansed, but that we are part of the temple that God protects. That ferocity is turned towards our protection. So when was the last time that we had someone fight for us? Someone get angry on our account, stick up for us? Revelation shows to us that this is the intensity of the love that God has for us. So as you are preparing to be received into the church, first reflect on the fact that God so treasures you that he will fight for you. that he protects you. And those of us who have maybe been in the church for a long time, maybe there have been moments where human beings have let us down, betrayed us, done us wrong. And so it's good for us to realize I'm not alone in protecting or caring for myself, but that God fights for me, that intensity is turned towards me in this gracious and powerful love. But again, maybe the fear of our own sin or weakness overwhelms us. Maybe we doubt that God has fully forgiven us, and so there is this fear that anger will turn back on us. So we go to the book of the prophet Ezekiel. It's one of my favorite images, this kind of vision that Ezekiel is given. So now, knowing in the fullness of Revelation that the temple here is Christ himself, what does God do? So the water flows out. If we know our ancient Near Eastern geography, the Araba, the sea that's there, is not just some salty sea, it is the Dead Sea. So the Dead Sea got its name for a reason. It is so salty, nothing lives there, nothing grows there. Had the chance to be there a couple of times, and I can tell you it's one of the most unsettling feelings to get into the water because you don't feel any of the usual growth that you may feel when you get into a lake or into the ocean. It's frankly kind of slimy feeling because all that's there is the salt and the dirt. And yet, the prophet Ezekiel sees that the life that is in this water will be such that even the deadest of bodies of water will bear life. Not that it will be a little less salty. It will be life-giving. It will be made fresh. So this is the answer to the fears of those salty, wasted, dark places in our own hearts. God's desire, his intense love, is so powerful that it still desires to go to those places and not just make them a little better, but in fact transform them into avenues of life. So those of you who are to be received into the church, of course, your conversion is not done. It won't be until, God willing, we're in the kingdom of heaven. But that should not be a cause for fear. That should be a cause for wonder. Wonder at the love of God that seeks out those places. Wonder at the love of God that is able to transform them mysteriously into things that may bear life and be beautiful. And then finally, as if all of this weren't enough to begin with, we go back to the fact that as the church, we are made one with Christ. We are his body in a real way. We are part of that temple. So then, the temple that Ezekiel is seeing is not just Jesus himself, but Jesus mysteriously as we belong to his body. And so God so dignifies us that he says, I'm not just saving you and then setting you off to the side, but I live my life in you. Right? So these places that have been salty and wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live. There shall be abundant fish. The banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind will grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. And every month they shall bear fresh fruit. And their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine. So we are now given a new mission. That as Jesus lives his life in us, our lives share in his power to enliven others, to feed them, to be medicine for them, to bring them into those living waters and to allow them also to be transformed. All of you who are being received into the church, you have experienced this on the part of the people who have loved you and brought you here. But now Jesus also dignifies you and will give you the ability to do that for others, and in fact give you the mission to do that for others. And brothers and sisters, this is our life. This is our mission. Sunday Mass, life in the Catholic Church, being part of Christ's body, is not a spectator sport. To watch the priest, to watch the staff do their thing. All of us receive the sacraments of initiation. We are baptized, given Jesus's life. And if that is to be extinguished by our own sinful choices, we are brought back to life by the sacrament of reconciliation. We are confirmed, made strong in the gift of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit, who is God's power in creation, who is the one who bears life to the church, lives in us. We are given the Eucharist, Jesus' own body, blood, soul, and divinity. We are dignified by God, saying, I desire you to be agents of my life. I desire you to share as members of my body in its work. So on this feast of St. John Lateran, where we celebrate the church that kind of stands in as the visual, small s, sacramental reminder of our identity as Christ's body, his church, we rejoice to receive these new members, these living stones, as St. Paul will say. But we also are reinvigorated, I pray, opened up to the grace that Christ has given us. Not of saving us and setting us aside, but of drawing us in an intimate, ferocious love into his own body, and keeping us there and saying, you are not too damaged, too broken, too sinful. You are made beautiful by your joining to me, and I love you and trust you so much, desire to remain so close to you, that I now ask you to share in bearing my life to the world, in making it fresh, in making it fruitful, in building up that temple. So may we continue to pray, not just for those to be received into the church in just a few moments, but also for one another, who may receive Christ's grace, his love, his power, and be able also to bear it to the world.